when you call the 800 number, 888-767-4348. 1-888 Rosie for you. You'll get an auto attendant that's new. Just hit number one to bypass the message, and it'll get you right into the studio, just like Diane, who's called in to join us on air with farmer Greg Peterson of the Urban Farm and Kari Spencer of the Micro Farm Project as we talk our way through raising and managing and all the benefits of a backyard livestock. Good morning, Diane.
Well, good morning, everyone. A big shout out to both Kari Spencer and Greg. Kari, your book, City Farming, just came to my home yesterday, so I'm very excited to crack it open and take a look. And Greg, thank you for the daily classes, except the weekends. 5 to 6, because I've been tuning in, and I'm very fortunate in the fact that I am only 3 blocks from the Glendale border, so technically I'm in Phoenix. And my question is, hey, hi there. So
Hello.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Kari, for providing the guidance to get everything set up before you get chickens. But I've got a question. Do any of you have experience in raising quail? And what are your thoughts?
Yes, I've raised quail, and they are delightful. You can put them in a cage. In fact, you have to, because they can't roam free like chickens do. You will lose them if you do that. So you have to keep them penned. They don't need a very big pen, you know, maybe about 1 or 2 per bird. And they eat hardly any food. You know, they eat just a tiny little bit, and they're very dependable egg layers. And their eggs are wonderful. They're tiny, but compared to the size of the bird, if you hold the egg up next to the bird, it looks enormous. you get a lot of food value for very little feed and almost no work. They're just very easy to keep.
Now, we're not talking game quail like gambles and merns and that you would find out in the desert. You mentioned a specific Japanese type quail. What types of quail are you buying at your local feed shops?
Those are Coturnix quail, which are also called Japanese quail. They are a very specific breed. They don't have that plume on their head like the gamble quail have. They look completely different. They're a little squattier body shape. They're very compact animals. They're very hardy. So, you know, you're not going to go out and just catch some gamble quail. You want to go buy them at a feed store. Those specific breeds.
And then we've got a texter that wants to know about geese.
Mm. Well, geese, they're loud, they're messy, and they're aggressive. But if you can put up with that, they make wonderful eggs and meat. You raise them similar ways that you would raise ducks. They're very protective of property.
Now, you said they're eggs, but don't they only lay like 1 a year?
Geese?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know. Perhaps it depends on the breed. But, I don't have any experience with geese. I wouldn't raise them personally just because they are quite aggressive. But Romy, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
And that's just something that Jonathan Manning of Elgin Nursery had told me about his geese. Is, you know, he's like, I don't even know why I keep them. They only lay 1 a year. And
he's
So maybe it is the breed, or maybe he just had defective geese. I don't know.
I don't know.
Jonathan, Jonathan over at Elgin Tree Nursery. Those guys rock. I was just talking to him on the phone yesterday. They're really good people.
They are. Elgin Nursery, that's one of my go-to places on the way home. I 83rd-ish Avenue and off of I-10 and McDowell Road.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I also want to do, I was really excited to hear the St. Vincent de Paul commercial that added their urban farm. And Nika and David over there and their crew are doing a really, really great job. And I was on a call with Nika the other day, and she shared with everybody that they're going to do 60,000 pounds of food that they're raising on their farms to take right into their kitchens, which is, wow, that's just amazing. And they have chickens over there, too.
Yeah, that's outstanding.
It is. And their aquaponic setup there as well is very impressive. They got a lot of time invested in that.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, you want to get in, motivated. you can go down there and get motivated real quick to want to come replicate that in your backyard.
Right. And the caller mentioned that we're doing daily classes at 5 o'clock every day. Kari's given a couple of them. Basically, when this whole pandemic thing started, our team looked at each other and said, what can we do? So at 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, we offer a gardening or garden-related class, and people can find out about them at iwanttogarden.com.
That's an easy one.
Yep. And they've been really great. It's, you know, we've getting people from all over the world and, you know, just coming together to learn how to grow their own food.
And you know what's so funny is, you know, we're at a time in history that's something you have to learn. So majority of the history, that was just something you did, something you knew, that was just part of life. It's only been within the last or century or so that we've gotten away from that. Now, just an interesting observation. And, you know, If you've ever wanted to or encouraged to get started, now's a great time. This is going into the summer. There's still plenty of things that you can do that still grow well. And the weather outside is just so nice.
Delightful, yeah. And now's a great time to get your summer garden started. So I think the biggest downfall for that is making sure you plant what's right for the season. So make sure you get yourself a good planting calendar about what to plant when.
And I could get that where?
Okay. Plantingcalendar.org.
There you go. Plantingcalendar.org. Now, what other things do we need to consider when we're looking at backyard livestock? And we're focused primarily on goats and chickens just because they are the most popular and, you know, because they're the easiest.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, Kari's mentioned several times meat animals, and I've raised meat chickens and meat turkeys here, and they're generally a different breed, and it's a different game. With meat chickens, you get a little peeper that's a two-day-old or a one-day-old chick, and you have to be ready to butcher that animal by about 8 weeks out. Otherwise, they grow so quickly. What is your experience with that, Kari?
Yeah, they can grow. You know, you can be, some breeds, you can even be needing to process them in 6 weeks. You know, they're just so fast. And you don't want to mix them with your laying hen flock, because anytime you introduce new members to a flock, it causes disruption and stress. So if you're putting a group of chickens in with your laying hens, that stresses them out, and then when you take them back out, that stresses them out. So, you know, you don't want to do that, really. So, and they also can eat different feeds, you know, so you just keep them separate and have somebody who can help you to process if you've never done it before. It's easy once you've done it a few times, but it's not something you want to dive into probably just on your own without some guidance. So there's a lot of groups online on Facebook and elsewhere, livestock groups, that you can probably find somebody who will help you with that, and make sure that's lined up before you even get your birds. Otherwise, you know, if you're having trouble finding someone, then you're on your own, and that's a tough situation.
Another interesting text question real quick. Can you mix ducks, chicken, turkey, quail, and pheasant all together? or do you have to have separate pens for each different species of bird?
Well, some people do mix their flocks and some people don't. It just depends. You know, if you're really wanting to make sure they're eating their own feed, because some of them have different needs, then you have to keep them separate because they will just eat whatever's readily available to them. But other people like to get just a feed for all flock and they keep them together. You know, there's a lot of reasons to do it and a lot of reasons not to. So, if you're going to get more than one breed, then you need to do a little research on what your varieties need and then make your decision on that.
And I really want to reiterate that if you're thinking about getting any of the backyard animals that we've mentioned, including worms, you need to think through the whole process and have the process laid out from beginning to end before you get them, at least in your head, so that you know where you're going. That's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Romy?
Now, what about, we had mentioned earlier that every stock shop we called before the broadcast, they're all a week or 2 weeks away from getting new chickens, baby chickens. And those come from hatcheries. And I have found, personally, that I have had the best luck with a hatchery out of New Mexico. The ones that come from Ohio and the Midwest, their breeds are they're better suited for those regional areas. So when you're at the stock shop, look and see what hatcheries these are coming from and try and get something that's from the Southwest. There's a couple over in California. Like I had mentioned, I believe it's Privet out of New Mexico. I've had absolutely the best luck out of that hatchery. And then a benefit to doing that is they guarantee like 98% hens. I did. I ordered heirloom chicks one time from a heirloom grower out of California that I had met, and it was really the only reason I bought it because the breed of the chicken was Buckeye, and these are very specific desert chickens, and so I ordered 24 from them. 18 were roosters.
Oh, my gosh.
And you don't find that out till about 4 or 5 months after it. So you've got all this time and growing them and feeding them and caring for them. And over half of them were roosters that we had to find new homes for.
Oh, my.
You're not going to get much sleep with that many roosters.
Yeah, right.
Right. There's a name for that, right, Kari?
A name for what?
Isn't that called straight run?
Oh, yes. There's nest run, straight run, different terms that you get. But, yeah, you want to make sure that you're buying from a hatchery that guarantees, like Romy said, the 98% female.
No. Yeah.
And if you do get a rooster by accident, a lot of the feed stores will take them and, you know, they'll find people who will take them off your hands. But, yeah, you don't want to end up with 18 of them.
Right. One year, about, I don't know, 10 years ago, I did an experiment. I had a friend with a big, big backyard, and so we bought 100 chicks. And we got one male. And
wow.
99 females. Yeah, so the process that they go through on that, apparently they got it down.
Now, we had a texter questioning you, Greg. He said, you'd mentioned raccoon, but I bet it was a ringtail cat. And I actually looked around because I knew I could find it. I sent them back a link to AZ Central about raccoons in Phoenix. There are raccoons. Right. You were not misspeaking when you said that.
No, not at all. We have pictures of it. Heidi came to me. It was about 10 o'clock at night. And she peeked out the back door, and she grabbed her phone, and she said, "Oh, my God, Greg, look what's on the back patio." And turns out it was a raccoon.
Yeah, they are here. And we've got one final segment with Kari Spencer and Farmer Greg Peterson here at Rosie on the House right after this.